Ponytails. Read by Scribbler.
Well, haven't you got anything to say for yourself?
What is there to say? It's all gone, innit? It's all ruined.
Don't be a fool.
I can't forget, Adams. I can't forget any of it. My mind, it just keeps going back. And I keep replaying stuff. I keep replaying what she said. What we said. What we done. And I can't...
You're talking nonsense. Keep it together.
Easier said than done. Adams?
What?
Do you remember it?
Of course I do. It wasn't that long ago.
And do you think... Do you regret? Do you... I mean... Do you remember it all? Do you remember... Where it all started?
I think it started when a small purple unicorn thing landed on my doorstep.
No, that's not what I mean. I mean, do you remember when it all started to go wrong?
It was always wrong. From the very moment that creature arrived, it was all wrong.
No, I don't think so. Do you remember that first night, when you took me out of the room and we talked and then I took her home? Do you remember what you said then? I think it started then. I think I should have stuck to my guns. I think I should have... Oh, God. What have we done?
Adams and I stood in one of the outbuildings, surrounded by various Coast Guard necessities. Anemometer, radio telephone, tool chest, the esoteric machines that made the microwave emitter work, and so forth. Adams peered out of the window towards his house, then turned to me.
"I don't believe a word," he said.
He still gripped the soft-cover Bible in one hand, white-knuckled, as though he was afraid of it being torn from him. There was only one chair in the room, and I claimed it in preparation for whatever he said next. Adams continued.
"Her story doesn't add up. It doesn't explain why she speaks our language. And I don't believe God would make other Earths."
Though nowhere near as biblical as him, I was quite capable of approaching him as one theist to another. "Sure he would have," I said. "Didn't you ever read C.S. Lewis?"
"She uses magic."
"Well, what do you expect? I mean,
this isn't some harmless Harry Potter stuff," he said. "The real magic is a tool of Satan's followers."
Oh, Christ, I was afraid of this.
"Listen," I said. "Maybe this is a test. Maybe she's like one of them angels who went to see if there were any good people in Sodom and Gomorrah."
"Angels have never taken that shape," Adams said.
"Well," I said, "angels' true forms are terrifying. So maybe this one needed a way to show us she was something higher than human, without scaring us. Either that, or her story's true." My countless hours spent reading meant I hadn't come to this debate unarmed. But could I make him see reason?
"There is a third possibility," Adams said.
He looked out of the window again, and this time did not return his gaze to me. I decided to appeal to his professionalism. "Well, we sure as hell can't call the brass about this. They'd assume we'd had cabin fever or something." Adams said nothing, but scrunched up his face in concentration. I could almost hear the gears turning in his head. "Look," I continued, "if she was here to do something unpleasant, she would have done it by now. Remember why we took this job? We're supposed to help every person who needs it."
"It's not a person," Adams said.
"Well, she talks like one. And did you see how scared she was? Adams, hard-faced, stared at the ground. I pressed the advantage I'd hoped I had. If this is a test from the Almighty, imagine what would happen to us if we fail. Come to think of it, I know the Bible mentions unicorns, but do you remember exactly what it says? Because I don't. Adams opened the book he'd been carrying and began to leaf through it. I have to check this out. Go and make sure it doesn't try something. Outside, the wind and rain had slackened a bit, and I mentally prayed the sky would clear by the time the sun rose.
Biblical Monsters by Horse Voice, Chapter 3.
By Celestia, this weather, my guest said, half to herself. If I had some help, I would be home already. How's that? I said, from my place at the kitchen counter, as I measured out 2 bowls of oatmeal. Despite the circumstances, I didn't fully share my guest's annoyance. Even with only 8 miles visibility, morning at Cook Point was rich with wild beauty. On the other side of the Vargas Bay, north of the lighthouse, tall spruces danced wild dances in honour of the mighty west wind. Along the point's eastern shore, the Pacific threw itself against rugged bedrock that underlay the outer edge of this part of the west coast. To the south, on the other end of Zebulos Inlet's entrance, mountains stretched from the ocean up to the low grey cloud, ceiling of winter. I can cast the spell, or I can change the weather, Twilight said. But trying to do both at once would use up too much energy, so it wouldn't work. Do you have the power to change the weather? I poured out some water into each bowl. Ordinarily, a thing like this would have made at least made me pause. But when I woke up and realised that early morning's events had been real, I had mentally prepared myself for more weird revelations. Actually, I had never had to live without weather control. She left the window and approached my small kitchen table. I can do it with magic, but you should see a Pegasus team at work when we're changing the seasons. I think they'd have an hell of a time here, I said, carrying the bowls to the table. We could do it if there were enough of us. Do you control anything else we don't? I sat down and passed one bowl across the table, and Twilight got up the chair opposite me. Well, does anyone control the sun and moon here? She said. My spoon stopped in midair. It seemed my mental preparation was not quite sufficient. You're joking, I said. Twilight smiled. Well, remember the 2 Diarchs I mentioned? Celestia and Luna, sister princesses of the sun and moon. She telekinetically lifted the spoon from her bowl. So, humans build civilizations despite being at the mercy of natural forces. Very interesting. I resisted the urge to scoff out loud. Weather manipulation was difficult enough to believe, magic or no magic, but the notion that any mortal of any world could move heavenly bodies, and that there would even be a need for it. I decided to humour my guest. It's not easy, I said. I mean, this station would fall apart if it weren't for the monthly supply runs. Which reminds me, the next one is due in about a week. If you're still here, you'll have to ride. Why? Twilight said between mouthfuls. I don't know what would happen if more people found out about you being here. I guess you might say, I'll search for the right term of phrase, just because I work for the government, don't mean I'll trust them. Twilight frowned and put an oof to her muzzle, as if digesting this tidbit. But listen, I said, ignoring my oatmeal. If you control natural forces, how does the ecosystem work? I mean, how do plants and animals evolve if they're being, well, interfered with? Twilight assumed a disarming smile. Oh, that's arranged too. We manage the animals, and they're helpful to us in a lot of different ways. What if you weren't around to manage them? Twilight froze in mid-chew and stared through me. Never mind, I said. But if I wanted to walk in real, pristine wilderness, like what's out there, I pointed at the forest to the north, would Equestria have any? Twilight chewed twice and swallowed. Why would you want to do that? Well, I take precautions in the case of mountain lions, but... Her question triggered a silent alarm in my mind, and I decided to change the subject before one of us could say something we'd regret. I noticed you took a few more books out. Several were stacked up on the end of the table. So, was Arabian Nights boring? No, it's good, but I'm more curious about this place, actually. Your world in this area. I hope you don't mind me borrowing the books you have on it. I shook my head. Twilight went on. I was reading about this Captain James Cook. He sort of reminds me of myself, the first to set hoof in a new world. Well, yes and no, I said. There were people here a long time before that. On that note, I meant to ask you. I found a reference to a war between tribes, but the book didn't go into detail. Do you know about that? Anticipating a long answer, Twilight shoveled a few more spoonfuls into her mouth. I did indeed know the story, Adams had told me, after hearing it from one of the chiefs of the tribe whose land this was. I leaned back, folded my hands on the table edge, cleared my throat, and began. Once there were two native tribes. I could never remember how to pronounce their names, but one lived at the point near where we're sitting now, and the other lived up at Zebulos Inlet's end, to the northeast. For years, the two tribes waged a terrible war against each other. Over time, the inlet people lost more and more ground to the people of the point. It began to seem as though the outnumbered inlet people were doomed. Then British colonists came in wood ships, armed with muskets and cannons. They declared this place their territory, and both tribes subjects of the Crown. Since the Crown reserved the right to use violence, they stopped the war at gunpoint. So the inlet people were saved? Twilight said. More or less. I decided not to tell her about the fate of the colonised people. Particularly unpleasant details could wait until she was more familiar with this world. Where is the Point tribe now? They left to find work elsewhere, I said. This was true. They only visited their traditional grounds in large numbers around the middle of summer. Twilight gazed out the window, chewing slowly, as if considering this. I took the opportunity to dig in. By the way, she said after a couple of minutes. I hope I don't drive a wedge between you and Mr. Adams. I think he'll be fine, I said. He just needs some time to sort things out. He usually comes around in the end. This was half true. By necessity, he always found a way to function among those he disagreed with, even if nothing would change his mind. I rose, selected a mug from the overhead cupboard, and filled it from the coffee machine that had been gurgling in the background of the conversation. You know, Twilight said, you're both lucky. Not everyone gets a chance to entertain a princess. Come again. No sooner had the words left my mouth than more foggy memories of that morning's introduction began to materialise in my mind. She put an oof to her snout and giggled. Well, it's really an honorary title, and I only got it a couple of months ago, so I don't have any real authority, except what Princess Celestia grants. So what Celestia says goes, eh? I've been meaning to ask this. Of course. You know, since you helped me, you'll get to meet her. A slash smile formed on Twilight's muzzle. You'd better be careful, though. She has a way of enchanting males the first time they meet her. I found the idea of infatuation with a member of another species absurd, but I decided to play along. Maybe you should tell me what she looks like, so it's not a surprise when the time comes. Well, she's an alicorn like me. Tall and pure white. The mug dropped from my hand and shattered on the floor, splattering coffee and shards across the tiles. Twilight yelped. I stared at the mess. Twilight looked first at it, then at me. Are you all right? She said. Sure, just... fumbled. Behold, a white horse. A magenta glow enveloped the grey fragments in dark brown puddles and raised them up and into the kitchen sink, leaving the floor pristine. Thank you, I said. Went forth, conquering, and to conquer. With some effort, I pushed the unwelcome thought from my mind. Checkmate. What, again? Out of 9 games so far, I'd only won the first. This time, she'd lured me into a particularly cunning trap. The pieces glowed magenta, rose from the table and arranged themselves for another game, faster than a human hand could have done. Are you sure you don't have this game in Equestria? In response, Twilight smiled impishly. It was the afternoon of the second day of Twilight Sparkle's visitation. Since yesterday's conversation over breakfast, I had more or less left her to her own devices, and she had torn through several more of my books, plus almost half a box of relatively recent newspapers. After a while, she had found my chess set. There had been no break in the weather. "I guess I just really want my pieces to succeed," Twilight said, with a little half-smile. "Why's that?" I said. "With all her powers, the Queen reminds me of Princess Celestia. And this one?" The Knight levitated up. "Reminds me of my brother. That's another reason I want to get home soon. By now, my friends will be looking for me. Princess Celestia may have already offered a reward for whoever finds me. That'd be you guys, I guess." She set the piece down and propped herself up in the chair. "Speaking of home, I would like to grant you a royal boon for having taken me in." She leaned forward, placed her left hoof on the table, and raised her right hoof grandly. "When I go back to Equestria, you shall be my guest at Canterlot Castle." Another bombshell. My mind whirled at the idea of going into another world, but I could not begin to imagine what I might find there. I'd love to, and I'm flattered, of course, but I can't abandon my post unless I'm relieved. We have a skeleton crew as it is." I had to force the words out, one by one. "You understand, if someone out there is in distress, or something happens to my boss, it could be a matter of life and death. Maybe some other time." "Oh," Twilight lowered her roof. "Well, that's all right. Princess Celestia and my other friends can thank you personally when they get here."
"Get here?"
"Well, I had meant to surprise you, but..." Twilight leaned back, a pleased smile on her muzzle. "I have it all figured out. Soon, the whole human race will be glad I came here. Your books and newspapers have shown me that you and the other fine humans always had to live with chaos and disharmony of your world. Natural disasters, wars, and so forth." She rose and began pacing back and forth, her chest puffed out and her tail swishing like a small cape. Her face and voice glowed with pride. "In this place, hundreds of years ago, your great explorer, James Cook, met this land's people for the first time and made history. Now, I want to do the same. Equines and humans will move between worlds, trading not only goods, but ideas. You'll especially like our weather services. Imagine it. No more drought, forest fires, or hurricanes. My weather shield spell is just a small version of the Crystal Empire's big dome shields. They can make a whole city like summer in the middle of the frozen north. We'll pacify the animals, too. You wouldn't have to worry about mountain lions attacking anymore. We could even stop all those wars. I mean, who's going to argue with some pony who can create a tornado?" She stopped and landed on me. "So, let's do it. Let's make this world more like Equestria." As she spoke, a horrible feeling crept over me. It began in my stomach, ran up my spine, and ended in a sharp, nagging thrill of danger that prickled at the back of my head. I took a deep breath and let it out slow as the ramifications sank in. "Well," I said, picking my words one by one, "that is a promising idea." "Really?" Twilight said. "You'd be crazy to turn down an offer like this." "It's a lot to take in." I rose and began working my way to the door, keeping my front toward Twilight. "I think I'd better tell Adams about this, just so that everyone's in the loop." "Good idea," she said, stepping forward. "I'll come with you." "No, no," I said. "I don't know what he'll think about this, but I know he trusts me. It's better if I tell him, man to man, so to speak. I'll bring him over if he's into it, and we can discuss all this." Half a minute later, as I crossed the 15-odd metres between the two houses. I tried to feign nonchalance, in case Twilight was watching me from the window, but I couldn't stop my legs from moving just a bit faster than usual.
That was Biblical Monsters, Chapter 4. It was written by Horsevoice and read by Scribbler. Okay, I don't have much to add today other than to say I have been working feverishly on Chapters 4 and 5, I suppose I'm going to call it Chapter 5, Lost Angel by Minalcra. Please tell me in advance if I've pronounced that wrong. And other than that, I hope to have those out fairly soon. I have a boatload of work to do this weekend, so I don't know how quickly I'll be with this, but I shall try to be as quick as possible. I'm something of a perfectionist, so stuff that should take me very, very short amount of time ends up taking friggin' hours. In other news, it's official. Nature's trying to kill me. Twice this week, that same tree that gave me a bleeding head wound and a fresh new scar has jumped into my path. I swear it's doing it on purpose. And bumped my head again. And today, I got caught in a freak late April hailstorm, with hailstones as big as my fingernails. So being pelted with them while walking along in a short-sleeved top, then frantically running after my dog, which was frightened, and went and hid in some trees that provided no shelter whatsoever, crouching over the dog because they'd kept hitting her in the face and I was worried about her eyes getting hurt, and then walking home and having drivers laughing at me because my hair was plastered to my face and I was wearing a very inauspicious pair of sunglasses. Yay. Right, hopefully 3 for 3 on that one. So, I hope everybody else has had a much better week than me. I'll try to get the other chapters out as soon as possible. And don't think I have much else to say. Be lovely to each other and good night, everybody. Bloody clock.